Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
6:42, 18 before 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Our Blue Runner Gumbo Willamette. Let me tell you about the weather first. It's going to be rainy, an 80% chance for showers today. Kind of balmy, really, with highs near 80. Then tomorrow, 70% chance for showers. It clears out later on, highs tomorrow 66, and then Saturday and Sunday. Man, get ready. If you're going to Saints game on Sunday, clear skies, cool temperatures, highs of 63. So get out there early, start tailgating, and bring it. Because this is the playoffs, and the finality of those every year just slap me in the face. Because if you lose, and I know this sounds like a logical statement, but emotionally, it's devastating. We all know this from the last 2 years where all of a sudden, it's over. Training camp, everything else, that's it. Mike Lyons joins us now, CBS military analyst, our friend, to talk about what's going on in Iraq. Major, good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Hi, good morning, Tommy. Happy New Year to you, too.
Tell me what's going on militarily in Iraq. And a big question I have is, I guess, about Iraqi security, if that does exist in the green zone, and if this tells us anything moving forward about that.
Well, Iraqi security does exist. They just kind of pick and choose what they want to do. I think this is a good example of the Iranian influence over the Iraqi government, their ability to muster troops, which is fundamentally what they were that attacked the embassy. They weren't protesters at the New York Times, so they weren't mourners. They weren't people upset about the United States over that. They were clearly militia soldiers that had a plan. In the last 48 hours now, it looks like the leaders of that group have got them to withdraw. So, you know, it's not like they were a mob that there was no control over them. They were in control the whole way. They've created a tremendous amount of damage inside the embassy and the embassy compound. But like anything else the Iranians do these days, they go right to that line. They don't cross it. They don't kill any Americans there. They don't take any hostages. And they don't spur another response by the United States other than to send some troops from the 82nd there to try to reinforce what's going on.
And that was my question. In terms of spontaneity, in terms of how far they were going to go, this was all, would it be safe to say this was all pre-planned and the limits were already set in terms of how far they were going to go, and they knew they were going to be gone in 48 hours almost before they started?
Yeah, I'd say probably, depending on the response that we had. I think you look at what we did on Sunday to retaliate against the original rocket attack that killed the American contractor. That's the red line for this president. The red line is American casualties. And if Americans are killed in anything like this, he's going to respond and he's going to do something pretty quick. Now, you can argue whether or not the group that was responded against was actually responsible for that rocket attack. We're not sure of that or not, but they were big enough and they were a big enough target and they were gone after. Now, we also should have anticipated them doing something like this. This is right out of the Iranian playbook. They've done this in the past. Obviously, it brought back memories of 1979. And unfortunate enemies of the president, even Democratic senators, felt the need to compare this to Benghazi and other things that, you know, blame Donald Trump for this. This is not Donald Trump's fault. This is Middle East politics. It's just how they go.
So when it as it relates to who was doing this, these were not people that came across the border from Iran, right? These are people that are already in Iraq that are under the influence of the Iranians?
Right. The militia groups that exist there that the Iranians or the Iraqis have actually used in the past to help them fight terrorist groups, fundamentally Shia militia groups, and they're funded by the Iranians. What that means is the Iranians pay for their food and give them a salary, and they get some equipment from them. They're trained by them. This is all about this investment was been taking place over the past 8 years. When we took the 1st Armored Division out of Iraq in 2011 and we took 20,000 troops and 350 tanks and 180 Bradley fighting vehicles, we've lost all legitimacy or claims to do anything and influence anything on the ground there. The Iranians moved in at that time and began this operation, of which they now influence. They're doing what Russia is doing, Putin is doing in Ukraine. They can influence what's happening inside of Iraq without actually occupying it.
You know, and you say Iraqi security exists when they wanted to or in different areas. It seems to me security is one of the things you can trust or you can't. And if, for example, I don't know if in the green zone, the Iraqis that were supposed to be, I guess, what, enforcing the law there, turned their back or were overwhelmed. Well, I don't know how in the world, Major. Here's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how in the world you could trust anybody over there, because if you look at the green on blue killings or whatever, however the colors go,
right?
I don't know how you can determine who you can trust and who you can't.
Well, you're right. And in this case, they got inside two layers of security and then got inside. You know, there's cordons of security, rings that go around. Each place is how the Americans look at this. And in this case, they penetrated the main green zone, number one. Number two, then they got inside the embassy compound. And then once inside the compound, they got inside certain areas in there as well. You're right that you'd have to think about the trust of the Iraqi security forces on the outside. But at some point for them, if they wanted to, they could have gone all the way, so to speak, and taken over the compound. Now, that would have been an international event that would have spurred a tremendous, I think, American military response, because the Iranians also don't want to go to war with the United States. They think they do on some level. They want to push back. But and if they make a mistake, I think this president will go right to downtown Tehran and go right after their defense ministry, and it'll start a very large regional conflict.
Hey, let me ask you about Kim Jong-un. He's making noise again. The president said on New Year's Eve, I think he says, that they like each other, they get along. Is this just Kim Jong-un, and you and I have spoken about this before, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but jumping up and down in the background saying, hey, pay attention to me too?
Could be. I think we've got to be concerned about any new technology that has been advanced. So I've been reading about solid rocket propellant systems that would give more range to their missile platforms that could potentially allow them to hit the United States. Right now, it's more speculative whether they could hit our East Coast. They don't have a space program, so they don't have any satellites that can guide missiles in. We've got some anti-ballistic missile technology there that could possibly knock it out. But if he's got a solid rocket propulsion system that gives more range to his missiles, that could pose a larger threat. We just don't know. We don't know what scientific advancement he's got. He's not tested anything long range. He's not done any nuclear tests. He's had a self-imposed moratorium. It's unfortunate the president didn't get anything done here. This administration, the first part of it, didn't get anything done. Didn't get, you know, at the end of the Korean War, didn't get any kind of movement towards peace on the peninsula. And I think, unfortunately, his opponents are going to hit him over the head with that as he runs for re-election.
So I saw the president on New Year's Eve, I think it was, in his tuxedo, saying that he and Kim Jong-un were friends. He said that they had a written agreement. How important is it at that point that the two leaders personally get along, or is it all goal-oriented? And secondly, is there a signed agreement or not?
No, there's nothing signed. And I think in Donald Trump's mind, it's important they get along. This gets back to the personalities of these presidents and how they feel this has got to get done. And he feels that if he has a relationship with somebody, this is kind of classic New York real estate guy. You know, if he feels he's got the relationship, that the other, he's not going to do anything about it. And you know, he's got other forces that he thinks can act on Kim Jong-un. You know, Dennis Rodman, let's say. There's other influences that go. But Kim Jong-un wants a seat at the table. The president gives him one at the time. So, you know, he'll have to, again, cross a very bright line in order for Donald Trump to go against him. And he's gotten some of that borderline personality where if he does cross it, Donald Trump will go after him, you know, viciously, and the whole cycle will start again, unfortunately.
So where are we at in Iraq? We're sending troops over. How many are they going to be on the ground in Iraq at the embassy? What?
No, we've only sent a brigade of the 82nd Airborne, a rapid deployment brigade. Brought back memories of the old Cold War. This is what those guys do, those guys and gals do. They're on standby. They're ready to go anywhere in the world, 18 hours. So they're there already. They're in Kuwait, as it turns out. But we can't necessarily send them there to the green zone just yet, because if we're going to send troops, the Marines that are there at the compound are not designed to protect the compound. Actually, mm-hmm. they're designed to just destroy confidential information and marshal people through different evacuation plans. But if we now all of a sudden plus troops up inside of inside of Iraq, I think that sends another signal. So I think they're just going to stage in Kuwait. They'll probably stay there 90 days. They'll go back home at some point, maybe sooner. But Iran will have got its point across that at any given time it can influence what's happening inside the Iraqi border.
Does this change the way we thought what we thought about the green zone in terms of safe area?
I think if you look at the damage that has been caused by it, there's got to be some concern there. They'll rethink some of the security aspects of it. Maybe egress points in and out. They'll probably go over evacuation plans in case they have to be changed based on what happens. I mean, these kinds of things do test the limits of what we thought was going to happen and where we can evacuate to. But it really is all about the Iraqi government. To your point before, if the Iraqi security forces are going to turn a blind eye and don't help us there, and that's in any country we have an embassy, then it just doesn't matter. We're always going to be outnumbered and overwhelmed by any mob that wants to take over the embassy.
Thank you, Major. Have a happy new year, and I appreciate your time.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.